clear and concise. This is the Shannon Joy Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Shannon Joy Show. We're broadcasting from the Joy Virtual Studio out of New York State, beautiful Finger Lakes region. So glad to be with all of you tonight. It is Wednesday, the epicenter of another very busy broadcast week, and there is so much going on in the world today. It seems as if things are accelerating, and there is no better person to have in the Joy Virtual Studio tonight than Edward Dowd to talk about what is happening in terms of human events across the globe. He has an amazing perspective regarding what went down with COVID-19 in March of 2020 and the chaos that has ensued ever since. We're going to get to a lot of topics tonight. He is a Wall Street analyst, former BlackRock executive. You know him because I featured his work on this show for quite some time. He is a numbers guy, a data guy, statistics. He's a trend spotter, a pattern finder, and he uses and has used those skills for many years to grow financial funds by billions when he was in Wall Street. So he knows what he is talking about. He is currently writing this book about to be released November 8th, Cause Unknown, The Epidemic of Sudden Deaths in 2021 and 22. That is going to be released soon. You can find information on that at theyliedpeopledied.com. And he is now a whistleblower of sorts. He has been linking the metadata, looking at the metadata, spotting those trends, and looking at things like mortality rates and actuarial data, disability claims, to make the case, a case that many of us have already come to the conclusion to, that the rollout of the mRNA vaccines and the mandates are indeed the cause of what is now what looks to be a baseline 20% increase in all-cause mortality in the United States and very similar numbers across the globe. And he has the receipts and the data to back it up. Such important work. Edward Dowd, welcome to the Shannon Joy Show.
Thank you so much for having me, Shannon.
Did I encapsulate the chaos of your life somewhat in that intro over the past 2.5 years?
Yeah, no, it's been pretty amazing what's happened. And just for some perspective on it, why I take my ego out of it. It's not about ego. It's not about me. But I was just a guy on Twitter speaking my truth. Then I got elevated. And why is a guy in the middle of the Pacific Ocean on Maui at the base of a volcano having to do this? Mm-hmm. That just, you know, goes to the state of the world. I mean, this should have been captured by the authorities and shut down in month 1-2 of the vaccine program. The fact that it wasn't tells you all you need to know. That's the problem. This is a fraud that is in the government and the regulatory agencies, in large big pharma and the tech companies and media. It's a meta fraud.
Mm. Before we get to kind of the big picture, the umbrella explanation of what the hell is going on in the world today, my audience is pretty well versed on your work, but can we go over it, just, you know, a broad overview of what you have found and what leads you to this conclusion? And again, just a little over a week ago, you were on the Dr. Drew Show, a frankly extraordinary program, breaking into mainstream media and a mainstream audience, which is so incredibly important, with this message that, yeah, these vaccines are toxic and they are killing people and they are harming people. And that's a very difficult truth for people to wrap their minds around. But can you give the audience just a broad overview of how you came to that conclusion?
Sure. So I started in February, March, April of 2021, hearing anecdotes and what had changed in 21 versus 20 vaccines. So then my thesis immediately was the vaccines causing sudden death and some disability. Now, they were anecdotes there, here and there. They weren't very big yet. So I went on a journey of discovery and figured if this was going to appear, it would appear in insurance companies and funeral homes. Then the mandates came, and the mandates actually made my case a lot easier to prove because the mandates pulled forward a bunch of people temporally in time in a very short 3-month period. And that's when we saw the 40% excess all-cause mortality in the millennials. And like a stock thesis, you know, when you pick a stock, you have a thesis and you don't have all the information yet. So as time rolls forward in the calendar, you hope that the information proves your thesis correct. And then the stock goes up over time as more and more people come around to your point of view. So I want to kind of begin backwards what I've most recently discovered, because it's the smoking gun as far as I'm concerned. We did a lot of work. We had a lot of suspicions. I had a partner from the insurance industry, a couple partners, one ex-Wall Street guy, helped me analyze this stuff. And, you know, we came up with CDC data in March showing millennials died at an 84% accelerated excess death into the mandates.
Wow.
And there was a huge spike in a 3-month period. Then we were ratified by the Society of Actuaries, who came up with the exact same numbers in the third quarter, surveying 80% of the revenues of the group life industry. And I'll talk about group life in a second because it's super important to understand. And then recently, about 2 weeks ago, and this went into my book as I was writing it, we discovered that the group life, as I suspected, individuals have a much healthier profile than the general population.
Okay.
And so the group life policyholders are a subset of the U.S. population, right? So what do we know about them? Well, one of my insurance whistleblowers sent me a report from 2016 done by the Society of Actuaries. This is an industry group. These are, you know, this is as good as it gets. Okay.
Right.
And they said that the group life policyholders generally experience a mortality rate 30 to 40% less than that of the general population in any given year.
Okay.
And there's a number of reasons for that. Okay. They're employed generally at large corporations or mid-sized corporations. Group life policies are policies given to you as a benefit to your employment. And, you know, you sign up, you sign your health care, then you sign your group life policy, and then you assign, you know, the death beneficiary. If you're young, it's your parents. If you're married, it's your spouse.
Okay.
And, you know, this is kind of a joke. I've signed a number of these because no one expects to die in your 30s, 40s, and 50s. You just don't.
Well, people don't usually die in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. It's extraordinary.
Yeah, and when you do, it's usually accidental, or right. You know, it's a freak of nature usually. So one of the things about these policies you need to understand is you need to be employed at the time. So it's not, you know, that kind of takes the old retired people out of the equation. So once you terminate your employment or retire, you're not a group life policyholder. Okay. So they tend to be younger, working age, highly educated, more educated than the general population, and just healthier in general. Mm-hmm. So this has been the experience of this group. And they did a study from 2013 through 2016, 4-year study, basically proving that 30 to 40% the mortality rate of the general population. Then this report comes out last week with that, you know, setting the frame and the scene. The report comes out that in 2020, the first 9 months of 2020, that indeed the group life policyholders, COVID affected everybody and the lockdowns and the mayhem. So the group life policyholders did experience excess all-cause mortality, but at a lower rate than the general population in the first 9 months. Flip to 2021. Ages 25 through 64 experienced 40% excess mortality for the calendar year 2021.
Wow.
The general population, the whole U.S. population, everybody, experienced 31.7%. excess mortality. That's an 8% difference.
Right.
So using deductive reasoning and being a stock picking guy, my thesis is pretty simple. If you were employed, you had no choice for the most part.
That's right.
You had to, you know, these mandates were pervasive. Corporate America, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley led the way even before Biden wrote the executive order. Corporate America followed, and you know the rest. What did the general population have that the employed population didn't have? They had choice.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
So there's no other reason why that group would experience a higher death rate except that variable. And that for me is a link. Do you have a question?
Well, yeah, I mean, it would make sense. I mean, that was one of the perplexing things about the vaccine mandates. Most of us assumed that the mandates would come to a general population from the federal government or a state government or a local government. And what was really unique was that the enforcement mechanism for the vaccine mandate really flowed through corporate America. It was the big corporations, the massive companies that coerced their populations into accepting a vaccine that they normally would never, ever have accepted, especially because we knew very early on that young people were not susceptible and did not have too great a risk from COVID-19. I do have a question for you, though, because so you would think you're looking at this actuarial data, you're looking at this from the perspective of big insurance, you know, life insurance companies, and obviously there are massive corporations as well. And when you have these type of spikes in all-cause mortality, and you have this epidemic of this sudden adult death syndrome, not even just the life insurance companies, but even health insurance companies, if you have a spike in adverse reactions or adverse events, the COVID-19 vaccines, at some point you would think that they are going to look at each other and say, this is a big problem. So big pharma and big tech are essentially making everyone sick and people are dying, and we have to pay out the death benefits. We have to pay out, you know, the benefits in order to get, you know, people healthy or to treat some of these adverse events. So my question is, why aren't they saying anything, or are they saying things kind of beneath the surface, or is this another case of cognitive dissonance where they're just not ready to accept this? Because I think the data is very clear, and I think that you are being proven to be right on a daily basis as an enormous amount of data is emerging. It's almost too much for me to even keep track of at this point because so much is pouring out.
Yeah, so cognitive dissonance is a big part of this. Okay. But I also suspect early on in February, March, I think some insurance companies figured this out, particularly the European ones. Mm. And I think rather than blow the whistle on it, they made financial moves to protect themselves.
Wow.
Aegon is a Dutch insurer, and they did a very strange transaction in the fourth quarter of 2021. They had what's called a reinsurance deal with Winton Re, where they sell a book of business to Winton Re. You know, there's economics around it. And it was a $1.7 billion high face amount individual insurance policy book of business. So like $5 million policy holders, okay? They sold $1.7 billion worth of this. And on the conference call, a sell side analyst from Wall Street asked them, this seems like very uneconomic to you. Why'd you do this? Oh, we wanted to reduce earnings volatility. I think that was basically their way of doing a big short. It looks like a bad deal, but it's going to be a great deal once we roll forward, because these are high priced policyholders.
Mm-hmm. So from your perspective, the people up at the top, the movers and the shakers, are moving things around right now. They see the writing on the wall, but they're not willing to blow the lid off of it.
Well, the smart ones, there's a lot of dumb insurance executives in the US who still believe this. And remember, they themselves got vaccinated and mandated all their employees. Insurance companies were really harsh on the mandate. So there's definitely cognitive dissonance and disbelief right now in the insurance industry, but it's changing. And the good news is we're at a tipping point soon. I think somebody brave is going to come out hopefully soon in the insurance industry.
Let's talk about that, because I share your sentiment that we are close to a tipping point, that you're beginning to see this awakening and it is accelerating. There's a lot that's going on in the world today. We're going to look at some of the current events, some of the news items that I think point to this when we come back. We are joined tonight by Edward Dowd. He is the author of the upcoming book, Cause Unknown, The Epidemic of Sudden Deaths in 2021 and 22. You can find his work at theylliedpeopledied.com. He's also on Rumble at Edward Dowd. You can follow him there. We'll be back in a moment right here on TNT.
You should hear what George Eliason is talking about.
The referendum in Donbass is one of the most important happenings in the world today. Ukraine is saying that this is farcical, that they want their territory, that Russia's stealing their people again. And yet, in the last week, just in Donetsk, Ukraine killed almost 30 people, and it included a prenatal hospital as a target. Now, the HIMARS, these targets are approved by the U.S. government. So when Sergei Lavrov is saying that the U.S. and the EU and anyone supporting Australia isn't neutral, they're providing targeting information or approving the targets. This is pregnant women having babies or getting ready to have babies. That's a legitimate target. This is the country that wants this land and these people back. That's not what it's about.
George Eliason on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
When it feels like the world has stopped, good finds a way. Good never stops, and neither does Children International. To learn more, go to children.org/help.
Child labor and toxic leaks, the price we pay for a greener future. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Shannon Joy Show. Tonight we are joined by Edward Dowd. He is the Wall Street analyst, ex-BlackRock executive, turned whistleblower of sort, or accidental activist. That's what I tend to call people like myself and Dr. Malone and, you know, like so many people in different industries and with different types of expertise that were just rocked by what happened in March of 2020 and then began the journey, right, of figuring out what the hell is going on and facing some uncomfortable truths. I feel really bad for my fellow Americans. You mentioned that we are approaching a tipping point and an awakening. And I want to talk about that. Before we do that, it's not Rumble. You can find him on Getter. It's Getter at Edward Dowd. I messed that up in the end of the last segment. Sorry about that. But let's look at this awakening. It seems to me as if things this week even are accelerating, right? We have the astounding election of truly a political outsider, Giorgia Meloni, and in Italy. We have the revelation now of Dr. Asim Malhotra. He's a British cardiologist making huge headlines, right? He's double jabbed. He was a COVID-19 mRNA jab proponent. He has now done a stunning turnaround and is now very loudly speaking out, calling for an end to this vaccine program because of the safety signals. We have a lot in terms of Europe, just massive protests from the Netherlands to Germany to Poland. The Nord Stream pipelines essentially sabotage now. They're, you know, people are, you know, accusing their massive explosions. They deliver gas from Russia to Germany. And this is just 22 hours after a massive protest in Germany demanding that they open that pipeline up again. And, you know, craziness in the financial markets here in the US. We have inflation, energy shortages. I mean, it's just so much, right? And, you know, it's concerning. What do you make of all of this as really every area in our life? We thought, man, this is going to be over after everyone gets vaccinated and, you know, the lockdowns are going to end and we're going to go back to normal. But now it's almost as if they're just slamming us one thing after another, after another. What do you make of all of it?
Well, let's go back to 2019. A lot of us in the financial markets were expecting a global debt default at some point the great financial crisis, all it really did was paper over things for 12 years. And it was a zombie economy globally. And protests were starting to begin in Europe as there was austerity. And there, remember the yellow jacket protests before pre-COVID?
Yeah.
And we were going into a global slowdown. There was a repo crisis in October, September of 2019.
Yep.
So those of us in the financial markets were expecting something to happen. Well, COVID happened. And yes, the markets did go down, but that was temporary. Why was that temporary? That was temporary because it gave the Fed and global governments an excuse to spend like drunken sailors. The Fed printed 65% more money supplied year over year than they, and it was the biggest increase ever. And if you've seen money supply growth, it went like this and then like that in 2020.
Right.
So what did that accomplish? That basically bought them time. And we figured about 2 years and here we are and it's unraveling again.
And they really did succeed in creating almost a governing elite class, right? Because they shut everything down, mom and pop businesses, all of the regular little people, and they propped up massive global corporations and the big boxes, but also these local corporations that they just dumped money into, the PPP loans. And it was almost as if there are just kind of, if I look at my own local community, just a small handful of really well-connected people just cashed in those years while everyone else suffered. That made them stronger. We're much weaker now, right? Because we don't have the economic cushion that they have, just getting money dumped into their coffers. And really is setting us up for some tumult, right?
Yeah, so the bottom line is that was, it was the biggest concentration of power and theft we'd ever seen. And I think our RICO case could eventually be being made because all the big box stores were allowed to stay open. And let's just use common sense. If COVID was really that much of a threat, why would you have hundreds and hundreds of people in Costco, but not four people in the local, you know, little five and dime shop? Nonsense. So yeah. It was definitely a RICO case in my mind. We'll find that out eventually. But let's also think, so the Fed bought 2 years, but COVID was also a convenient excuse to blame or allow the money printing. The Fed took additional powers. They were able to now buy corporate credit. They'd never been able to do that. And so they took more power grab. And it was also, I believe COVID was also designed to introduce a control system that would be able to be, suppressed protests, riots, restrict travel under the auspices of medical tyranny. One of the big tells for me was on April 3rd or 5th of 2020, James Bullard, who is the St. Louis Federal Reserve president, got on Face the Nation. And you gotta remember, in early 2020, people were still not even thinking what was coming down the road. And he said that they asked, how are we gonna get out of this economic fear from everybody being afraid of COVID? How are we gonna turn the economy back on? He said, well, we have good news. We have new technologies available to issue tests and give immunity badges. He literally said immunity badges. And then we have surveillance tech that could then monitor that. This was so I immediately knew vaccine passports were coming. I was saying it, screaming it loudly on Twitter that summer, and everyone called me a conspiracy theorist in 2020. And you know, it wasn't that long after that they rolled that out. And it was, I think it was a control system they wanted quarterly jabs. They wanted to be able to link this vaccine passport eventually to a central bank digital currency. And I think it was a 1-2 punch. Give them a couple more years to put in a control system, personally. I mean, if you're a central bank or a politician, you can't take the rap for this disaster.
Well, and I do think that the obsession over vaccination really was about establishing a 21st century type of slavery, right? It would represent a corporate or government ownership of every person's body. If you don't have the right to say no thank you when it comes to a medical intervention, when you are mandated or threatened or coerced into accepting medical intervention against your will, then I think that establishes, similar to the masking, that's why I think the masking preceded the vaccine, because it was so absurd and so clearly didn't work, but it did signify blind submission and obedience, even among people who didn't think it did anything, right? They wore it anyway because of that that pressure. And so I do think that the vaccines were critical and they expected it to go a certain way. But when we come back, I want to talk about the resistance, right? The work that you have done and some of our friends in so many different areas globally and here in the United States of America, things didn't go quite as planned. And so I think this is why we're seeing this awakening. It's why this is a dangerous time. It is a time when we need to be louder, not quieter. We need to find our people and engage in our communities more than we have in the past couple years, because as they become exposed, I liken it to kind of a rabid animal backed up into a corner. This is when they become more dangerous. So it's an exciting time to witness this awakening, but it is also a dangerous time. And I want to look at that with you, Ed, when we come back tonight on TNT.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines.
Hurricane Ian rapidly intensified off Florida's southwest coast Wednesday morning, gaining top winds of 155 miles per hour, just shy of the most dangerous Category 5 status. North Korea's test fired two more missiles the day before Vice President Harris goes to South Korea. Russia is preparing to annex four more areas of Ukraine its troops took control of during the invasion, following a referendum vote that the U.S. claims is a sham.
Are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio?
Do you think we're doing a good job?
Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Tonight, Ed Dowd joins me on The Shannon Joy Show. His book, Cause Unknown, released on November 8th. It is the epidemic of sudden deaths in 2021 and 22. You can find his work, his very important work, theylliedpeopledied.com. And you can also find him on Getter at Edward Dowd. Let's talk about the awakening. And I mentioned in the last segment, Edward, that it is a very exciting time to witness the awakening, witness, you know, people begin to find each other and essentially become red-pilled, or, you know, the scales fall from their eyes, however you want to describe it. But it's also a dangerous time, because this is when those who seek to impose a global tyranny, that seek to impose a technocracy or this, you know, massive global surveillance state, really erase liberty, erase sovereignty of not only nations, but human beings, and reduce us to numbers, which is what I think they want to do, right? I talk about the 21st century economy, and the human being is the product, the consumer, and the experiment all at the same time. And that's, I think, what they're building towards, and with no regard for humanity or individual natural rights. So what do you make of the times that we're living in right now? Like, where are we from your perspective?
It's definitely dangerous, because what's going on with this vaccine debacle is getting so bad that, and I said in February on a couple shows, that they're caught. They know they're caught, but now they're going to double and triple down. Mm. And so what I kind of unfortunately was sad to say that I didn't think they'd cancel the vaccine program. They just continued to go through with it, get children approval, try to get immunity. And, you know, that's where we are. We're literally at a point where they're going to continue to do this until the people rise up and enough people pressure some politicians that aren't aware of what's going on. There are people, not everybody's in on this. And it's literally, it was a drive to basically, you know, we've been living in an economy of economic rent-seeking behavior. And like you said just a moment ago, the ultimate rent-seeking is the human body. And they were going to extract rent for us to be able to live. And they were, the vaccine passport and program was designed to basically extract rent for our freedoms. So if you wanted to go to a restaurant, you need to take a jab. And now people say, oh, but they were free. If you think they were going to be free forever, you've lost your mind. The idea was to put us on quarterly jabs and be compliant and all this nonsense. And I did the math on that. If Pfizer got us to quarterly jabs under the color of law, and they got 50% market share of 5 billion of vaccinated people, they would make $300 billion a year annually. Their revenue before COVID was 40. It's 80 after 1 year. $300 billion was the prize.
Right, right.
And if you don't think that's enough money to bribe people and get regulators to do what you want for a cushy revolving door job later on, well, then you're naive. That's how the real world works. And the FDA is thoroughly corrupted. They're in on this. That's why they wanted to hide the data for 75 years. Part of the administrative state is in on this. I suspect intelligence agencies are in on this. I think this is a conspiracy of interest. I think big tech stood to make a ton of money on surveillance technology, so they complied with the censorship. And the media, they just took dollars. They're just greedy, and they did what they did. So it's a meta fraud. It's three buckets of fraud: pharma, tech, media, and then the fourth level is regulatory and government. So that's why these are dangerous times, because the people who are supposed to be there to regulate and help us are the ones involved. And so they're going to do everything they can to distract us. So I suspect we're going to see lots of distractions. The first one was the Ukraine war.
Sure.
They tried monkeypox. that didn't work out because I guess they forgot it was transmitted through gay sex. But, that didn't work out so well. So what's the next thing? Taiwan, they need distractions because they can't be blamed for basically a global debt default, which is basically we borrowed the future. There's only so much levels of debt that can be sustained before it collapses in on itself. And the little fact that most people don't know is it needs constant money printing. It's not the level of money, it's the flow. You need a constant flow of money printing. And they know that's unsustainable. And that's what the Fed did in 2020, March, April of 2020. They knew a collapse was coming and they increased the flow. So the flow needs ever increasing amounts of money. So it's like literally it's getting to the point where, it's going to fold back on itself. Infinity.
And so you talk about this conspiracy of interest, which I agree with. But from my perspective, you have the villains. And I do think there are villains. I do think there are narcissistic, sociopathic individuals that have God complexes with way too much money, way too much time, and way too much power. And they meet in Brussels or Davos or wherever it is that they can go and be fancy together and, map out the next 30 to 50 years, right? And they really do put these plans in place, and it's evident for everyone to see. They don't hide it. So, but my question to you is, the apparatus is so large, right? Like, how did they get all of the financial institutions and all of the massive corporations and all of these government? I mean, I look at the US, I used to be a Republican. I'm a blank no party now because, they're awful, right? And how did all the politicians get captured? How is it that every one of them was hiding behind mommy's skirts underneath their desk for, 18 months in COVID? How does this happen? This is the question that I ponder in my mind over, because I know they're not all in on the conspiracy. Most of them are just kind of dull, or lazy or corrupt. I mean, what is your perspective on that?
Well, one of the biggest things they needed was control of the message in the media. Mm. And, in the 80s, there were over 250 independent media, television station, radio stations, newspapers, sure, what have you. It was very unconsolidated. And then I think there was the 1995 Telecommunications Act that Clinton passed, and then a big, huge wave of consolidation happened. And yes, now we have six corporations controlling the message.
Yeah.
And we do know that the CIA, on record, through the Church findings, has Operation Mockingbird, where they infiltrated the media with their people. Now, if you think that's gone and went away, I have another thing, you know, coming for you. So if you wanted to control the medium and the message, all you would really have to do is get some key players involved and blackmail them. So, you know, this blackmail is just classic spy spook stuff. And it goes on, whether it's sexual peccadilloes or financial. You own these people and then you get them to do what you want you to do. The social media companies have been owned since their inception because they all took NSA and CIA money early on because they were involved in international growth. And so what the CIA and NSA did is they signed them up to these national security agreements where if the CEO ever breathes a word of them, he goes to jail. So they're owned. So the message was controlled. And I don't think everybody in corporate America is on board. I think they're just like brainwashed and fearful, like a lot of people. I think a lot of these people literally fell for this garbage. Mm-hmm. I know insurance CEOs did. They jabbed themselves. I don't think everyone seems to think if you're high up, you get some saline solution. I don't think so. I think a lot of these people took the damn jab they thought it was going to help. So you control the medium and message, and then you can control a lot of things. And they also control the healthcare system. Obamacare centralized. Obamacare is the genesis of this top-down nonsense we're seeing, and that's why you know, here on Maui, we call Maui Memorial the new killing field. I was at dinner with a bunch of doctors who are in the resistance, and they tell grim stories of people murdered through protocols. It's legalized murder, remdesivir, over sedating someone who's being intubated. And they get a lot of money to do that. They don't care.
Yeah. Edward, we had to fight like hell here in New York State because, you know, I'm involved in a lot of local activism, local organization. I'm convinced, you know, this is a global plan implemented locally. And the way to fight it is decentralization, a seizure of your own local institutions, your own local organizations, and just letting it rip across the country and the world. I think we're seeing that, but we had to fight like hell to get people ivermectin. We had to raise money, hire lawyers, protest outside of hospitals. And I can't imagine that this is just happening in New York. I mean, it's happening across the country. It was a genocide, a democide of sorts of legalized killing, which we can never, ever forget. I mean, that these are the stakes, I think, that a lot of people don't understand. But there is that awakening. There are people like you and people like Jay Bhattacharya and people like Dr. Robert Malone and Naomi Wolf and RFK and, you know, all of these individuals that have emerged that really, and I can even say, you know, from my own sense, even for myself, I mean, when I went on the air in April of 2020 and I'm like, I'm not putting a mask on, I'm not doing it. And I used my platform and lost every friend that I have and got arrested for not wearing my mask properly at a school board meeting. That's a whole different story. But really have pledged lives, fortune, sacred honor, right? Like there are so many people I think who understand these stakes and I see them connecting and getting stronger and growing. Does that hearten you at all? I mean, do you think that we can win this, that we can fight back against this? And yeah, that doesn't mean that things are going to be easy. Doesn't mean that there isn't going to be pain in the next few years, but at the end of this, maybe we could have liberty or pass that on to our kids and our grandkids.
I think we can, but there's not going to be this aha movie ending moment where everything gets wrapped up nicely. It's a grind and you got to keep the grind going. And it's a battle for the marginal mind and convincing the next person. That's why I'm writing my book. I hope my book is given to people that with hard, cold data written from the perspective of a financial guy presenting a thesis. And if I can change a mind, save a life, that's what I want to do. And as we wake up more people, we get to a tipping point. I think at 30%, 40%, that's when we get to a tipping point. And I also think what they've done is so bad that we're going to get to a tipping point sooner because of the death and disability. And I didn't really even talk about disability. I'll briefly mention that. And this complements what I said earlier about the insurance, 40% excess mortality in the group life versus the general population.
Right.
The disability data from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics They do a disability, part of their employment survey, they ask disability questions. So this is real-time data. It's self-volunteered, so it's not really gamed, and it's done over, you know, it's statistically done and rolled up. We're running around 29 million, 30 million disabled for 5 years prior to COVID, shot up to 33.
Wow.
And the rate of change on that was three standard deviations. And what we found is when you break it down by the population cohort, the employed experienced a rate of disability increase at 22%, the general population 6.6. So again, I have proof that something happened in 2021. This all happened in 2021, by the way. We have proof that the younger, healthier people are now experiencing death and disability at a higher rate than generally everybody else. Why is that? That's vaccines. And when we come back, I can talk about disability and how that's going to affect everybody in our nation.
Okay, we're going to go to break right here on TNT. I'm Shannon Joy talking with Edward Dowd, just unbelievable source of information and insight into what happened. You know, what happened prior to the lockdowns of 2020? Why is this all happening? And he really has done just an enormous amount of work on really linking this data, massive amounts of metadata, to make the case that yes, indeed, I think we can all agree these vaccines, the mRNA technology, they're killing people. They're killing people and they're harming people. We come back, we're gonna talk about those disabilities and more right here on TNT.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
I love when conservatives come to the rescue of other conservatives. Tooting their own horn, Fox News says Facebook has reversed a permanent ban on conservative children's book publisher Brave Books after Fox Business started asking questions about the ban. Brave Books publishes books for 4 to 12-year-olds. They told Fox that Facebook suspended them and denied an appeal. The publisher says they put out books that have pro-God, pro-America, and anti-woke values. Brave Books founder Trent Talbot called the suspension an existential threat to the company since they rely on Facebook advertising. The publisher produced a Facebook message which provided no explanation for the ban and stated that it was their final decision. Talbot called the incident a prime example of big tech today, adding they shut down small companies who say anything contrary to their woke agendas. And according to Talbot, a suspension from Google earlier this year was also reversed after Fox News reported on it. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
On the day that he was inaugurated, the Washington Post had an article on impeaching him.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
Donald J. Trump is now president of the United States.
They had an absolute legitimate meltdown.
If you try to change a system that big, the system fights back.
The story behind the biggest election takeover in history.
We're only now being able to finally confirm exactly how this worked.
Mark Zuckerberg and his wife are donating more money to local governments ahead of the election. $100 million on top of a $300 million gift.
The most money any individual has ever spent to win a presidential campaign in the history of our country.
I actually became infuriated that someone had allowed Zuckerberg to tip the scale.
The election was bought way before Election Day.
They stole it fair and square. They changed the voting rules in the middle of the game.
A nation divided.
This was the greatest billionaire assault on election integrity we've ever seen.
A billionaire-funded plot against the president.
Do you believe that they used the COVID emergency as an excuse to pull this partisan voter turnout operation?
Am I allowed to give you a one-word answer? Yes.
Rigged.
It was a rigged election. People have to find out what happened.
At SalemNow.com.
Support childhood slavery and buy an electric vehicle. We mandate that the truth be told.
Lighting the fuse for freedom.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Edward Dowd joins me tonight on the Shannon Joy Show. His book, Cause Unknown, The Epidemic of Sudden Deaths in 2021 and 22. And you can find his work at They Lied, People Died. It is a compilation. It's essentially all of the anecdotal evidence, all of the stories gathered, and then that metadata, the data that you've been looking at for quite some time in one spot. And it's the type of book I think that you could give a friend or a doubter or someone that maybe wasn't ready to come to this conclusion, but just needed that information. I want to thank you for doing that really important work, Edward, and thank you for being with me tonight on TNT. You can find him on Getter. His handle is at Edward Dowd. Before the break, we were talking about disability and the impact, right? So these mRNA vaccines, whether it's Moderna, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, well, AstraZeneca is not mRNA, but regardless, the spike protein and this mRNA technology is harming people, right? And we've talked about the sudden death, but there's also the disability, which is truly, truly tragic. What have you found on that?
So sudden death is very tragic, and it's the worst kind of vaccine side effect. It's acute death, okay? Those numbers, while large, are small relative to the disability that's starting to occur. And, you know, we're seeing, like I said, we're seeing 3 to 4 million plus disabled since May of 21 into, you know, 2022. And this is a big number. And I did some statistical analysis and some back of the envelope stuff. And I came up with, not everybody in that group is, you know, working, but I came up with working people plus the dead people who have died, the all-cause mortality of the working age population between 25 and 64, or 16 through 64. There are about 3 million people that have disappeared from the labor force through either disability or death. About 500,000 from death. Let's call it that, in that age group, and 2.5 million disabled. That's 3% of the working population. There's about 100 million people in the employed workforce in the U.S. So that's 3%. So when you think about all these labor shortages and all this great resignation nonsense, it's basically people dying and being disabled. This is the biggest tragedy I've ever seen, and it's gonna continue, unfortunately. We have 20% excess mortality run rate right now. The disabilities are continuing. And anecdotally, I'm getting very scared because here on the island, I have friends who took the vaccine. They didn't listen to me. They thought I was crazy.
Right.
And they're in their 30s and they're having heart problems. And it's not just one anecdote, it's seven. Seven. Mm-hmm. So, and this is now starting to manifest itself a year plus. Some of these people didn't even get boosters. So it's starting to manifest, and I think this is going to continue to roll through our economy and our social fabric. And I think, I mean, I don't want to say this, but I'm starting to like say hell on earth may be coming.
Wow.
When we have this many people disabled, and it's going to have massive supply chain effects, service effects, things that you and I that are not vaccinated took for granted, we're going to have to do without. It's a problem.
Yeah. And I think that long term immune suppression, right, really attacking people's natural immune systems,
right,
just making them vulnerable to everything. I think that's why there's such a wide variety of long term impact, right? Inflammatory diseases, cancers, heart attacks, blood clots, strokes, you name it. It's all out there. And it is indeed tragic. We only have we have about 6 minutes left in the program, Edward. And I do always like to leave my audience with something they can do, that silver lining, because I always believe that there is one. And I do think that there is hope, and there's always hope. What brings you hope, and what are the things that you're doing, right? Because I think about, okay, life may change. We might have shortages. The things that we thought we were going to do with our lives may not happen, but that doesn't mean we can't live and build houses and get married and have children and live as humans, right? So what is it that you're doing, or what is it that you recommend people do to prepare for this? And to prepare themselves and their families and survive it and potentially thrive through it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I talk about this a lot. The first thing you have to do is get your mindset correct. And what that means is, if you attach a lot of your ego and your self-worth to your job and your stuff you need to figure out a new way of living, because that's not, I mean, your job may disappear. There's going to be a great financial turmoil, but you also need to just, you know, find like-minded people, form communities, and think about opportunities that are coming, because there will be. We're already, you know, I'm starting a hedge fund with a couple of guys in Portugal who helped me, you know, with this analysis. We haven't raised the seed capital yet because we're busy doing this kind of work. We're not even worried about, but we're going to raise capital from like-minded individuals. And then we're going to, we've already agreed, the three of us, if we become successful, we're not going to sit around and buy five homes. We're going to kind of live the lifestyle we live and then put the money into projects. These guys have all sorts of, they're PhD physicists. They have projects. I have projects.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, freedom projects. It's my money no longer means to me what it did when I was younger, full of myself, in my cups, Wall Street, you know, big wig. Yeah. You know, I've taken on a new kind of view of life, and helping others and being of service is one of the best ways to get out of your head and fear. Stay out of fear, whatever you do. Like you said, the world isn't going to end. It's just going to change. And, you know, the sun's going to come up. You're going to, you know, wake up next to your husband. Your children will be in the next bedroom. Live life. Don't live in fear. Don't get into anxiety and depression, because once you do that, it's you can't function. And anxiety and fear lead to depression. And there's nothing to fear at all. Really, there isn't, other than you have to change your mindset. And, you know, I believe in God. I think spirituality and God are going to be a big part of this. I also think you should take care of your physical health as best you can. And that means changing your diet, losing some pounds, maybe do some fasting. That cleans up a lot of the spike protein. If you have been vaccinated, if you haven't, it still is good for you. And, I'm just kind of taking care of the, you know, the three things: mental, physical, and spiritual. And if you keep those all aligned, you can withstand anything that comes your way, because 99% of what happens to us is out of our control, but it's how we react to it. That's the only thing we can control. And if you react to it with fear and freaking out, it's not going to end well for you.
I think that that's great advice. And I agree with you 100%. Here in New York, it just astounds me. We have a really robust movement of grassroots organizers and planners and people. You know, we started out on street corners outside of nursing homes, protesting, trying to save some of our loved ones who were being tormented, you know, during the lockdown. Some of us were active at school board meetings, you know, fighting like hell to get the masks off the kids and to get them back to some type of normal life. But now those movements really have, and this has happened across the country, have blossomed into very, very strong organizations. And just one example here in my corner of the world, a group, I think they're about 100 strong now, but they are working on holistic health clinics and finding the money to build, putting together the better elements of Western medicine and also the better elements of that holistic natural healing, and, you know, setting this up almost like an arc, so to speak, right? When things collapse, you know, people are going to need good medical advice, and they're doing it. I can't even, it's amazing. I'm watching it happen. But I think those are the type of things that can give you hope. And again, that community is just so important, like individual people, right? They wanted to isolate us, separate us, dehumanize us, cover our faces with masks. They wanted us in their computers, in their technology, dependent on it. They wanted us to be consumers. And I think the single best way to protest that is to refuse to do it, right? In your own corner of the world.
Absolutely. And, you know, this sense of community that I've built has been awesome. I did it on Maui, then I've done it internationally through all the podcasts that I've done. That's my new partners from Portugal that way. To piggyback on your story, the only reason I'm here is because I went to a mandate protest. A guy recognized me from Zero Hedge articles from my Twitter. He said, "Hey, I want you to meet Dr. Malone." I met Dr. Malone, and then boom, here we are. So
isn't that wild?
The point I'm trying to make is get out there, be active, and meet your new friends. If you have this mindset that we have, you're going to lose friends. I've lost a lot of friends. People don't call me back. And I'm cool with that, because like I can't live being friendly with someone who thinks it's okay to like lose your job and have to take an experimental vaccine that wasn't tested on humans and failed at the animal testing laboratories. I mean, I can't hang out with those people. You know what?
I shed a couple tears over the lost friendships. And then, I mean, just plowed on. And to your point, 100%. By the way, I loved Zero Hedge. I've been using Zero Hedge. I didn't even know that you were involved with them. I've been using them for years.
I wasn't involved. They featured some of my comments from Twitter in articles.
Okay. No. All right. Anyway, they're fantastic. But thank you so much. Thank you for all the work that you have done and for continuing to do it. Edward Dowd, you can find him on Getter at Edward Dowd. The book is Cause Unknown. It will be released on November 8th. The Epidemic of Sudden Deaths in 2021 and 22. And you can find all of his work on theylliedpeopledied.com. Edward, do you promise that you'll come back on the show again?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, I would love to make you a regular guest and from time to time pop in and get your take on things that are happening across the globe. So thank you.
You're welcome. Take care.
And thank you all for listening. We will be back tomorrow to do it all again right here on TNT Radio.